I just slipped through an exam, and you're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Got our interview with Ocean lined up. Ocean Denham's show, A Hot Girl and Her Suzuki Swift, is at the Fringe from the 13th to the 15th of March, and we've got Ocean on. Hello, Ocean. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries at all. Sorry for the delay. Sorry for the computer being a computer, etc., etc.
No worries at all. We got there in the end.
Yeah, we did. We're on. We're good. A Hot Girl and a Suzuki Swift. What's the format of the show? Just sort of give us a little rundown.
Well, it's, what is it? Art imitating life? I have a Suzuki Swift. Whether I'm hot is probably objective.
Sure.
But I definitely, it's a show kind of talking about the trials and tribulations of just existing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of the feedback that we've got from the show is kind of like going around to a friend's house and having like a cup of coffee and like a catch up and just realizing how life is as interesting as you make it.
Sure.
But also, I find that the show is a good time. It's also elements of friendship as well. So, yeah, awesome. Very happy with the aspect of the show, yeah.
And it's sort of just stand-up, just you in front of the audience yarning?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more of traditional stand-up.
Yep.
There's a lot of elements to it, but it is just like, it's a very very stand-up-esque show. There's no singing in this. I normally do sing, but this show, there's not. No singing, sadly.
There's plenty of singing on at the Fringe. It might be nice to have a show without some at the Fringe.
Exactly. I do like the aspect of stand-up as just like a standalone art form.
Sure.
And the fact that like you don't have to rely on any like technical difficulties obviously affect a show, but when you do stand-up, you can deal with the bare minimum, which I really like. It's very
raw.
Like acoustic, yeah, it's like the acoustic version of singing, right?
Sure.
You just kind of have to go with what you've got naturally and see how it goes.
I love the title. The title is very eye-catching. It's very intriguing. But is a Suzuki Swift actually the hot girl car, or in your opinion, or is there another?
Well, the evidence finds, Jack, that I'm very attractive to Suzuki Swift, so you're going to have to tell me, hun. But honestly, you know, we don't discriminate. If you own a Toyota Corolla or a Subaru, you can still come along.
Sure.
Owning a Suzuki Swift is more of a mindset
and a
mantra rather than the physicality of four wheels on a car.
No,
it's
absolutely
just more than that. 100%.
That Corolla was the other one that came to mind. Corolla, maybe a Hyundai Getz, you know, they're all a similar shape.
They're so different, but we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Okay, sure.
I'm
not a car guy.
I don't want to be educating you on your cars or anything. I don't want to, you know.
No, we could do that. That might be good. We might be doing something for gender politics if you're educating me on the cars.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to have to explain to you. No. But like,
woman-splain cars to me.
Yeah, I feel like Suzuki Swifts and like a Mazda Demio.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? It's just a hot girl car. Mm. It really, really is, but I think, well, actually, one of my really close friends is a guy, and he drives a Suzuki, so it's nothing to do with,
it's mental.
Gender,
it's
or how you identify, it's just about being hot and having that car and that mindset, really.
Sure. And on the car, it sort of says in the rundown of the show on the Fringe page that your friends might be a little apprehensive about getting in a car with you. I was wondering, did you pass your driving test first time?
That's hectic because, I won't lie to you, Jack, I failed my learners like four times, right? But it might be just because the wording is really hard. They just want to get some money, okay?
They do.
But I actually passed my restricted first time, which is mental because I literally just reversed into my neighbor's house, but he was all good with it. But yeah, I passed first time. I'm still my restricted.
Right, yeah, no.
At 29.
Don't worry. There'll be no judgment from me. Same. 29.
It's expensive.
I know, and it feels like it's a way to make money. You're right. It feels like let's get $200 out of every person for two driving tests.
I know, but also like with your full, I'm like people are like, yes, you're not doing it because like, you know,
you're not allowed to.
No, yeah, but I might fail. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, you've got a license. Like, why face the idea of getting told you can't do it again?
No. Well, I would love to drive after 10 o'clock. So there's
That's
also
true.
That.
You don't... Look, I won't tell anyone. You don't do it anyway?
Okay, this is live on air, Jack. I'm not going to be airing my dirty laundry.
So sorry. The police just asked me to ask that one.
No worries.
Did they make you parallel park in the test?
No, she didn't. I think she could just sense it on me that I couldn't
fear.
Do it.
Sure.
But it was actually a pretty chiller, like, test. I'm not going to lie to you. Do you know what? I'm a personality hire in every aspect of my life. And I think even in that car, I was just like, I'm really going to have to dig deep here and just, like, chat some utter
just
nonsense.
Distracted with banter.
Yeah, get through this test. And it kind of worked.
Nice.
Because clearly I had my restricted and I wouldn't have given it to me.
The next question I have is a bit of a non-segue, but what was the inspiration for getting into comedy? Were there any particular, you know, references or shows or anything like that that inspired you?
Well, I just thought, what do the people of Aotearoa want? They want a hot girl with stand-up, and I just thought, I'm here to deliver.
You're unfold. Filling a niche, filling a space.
Yeah, it's literally, it has to be done. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I've got a degree in musical theatre, so I naturally used to write cabaret shows, and then I kind of just morphed into stand-up, and I wanted to get my stand-up to how good my singing was, and then currently a lot of my writing doesn't need singing, but that's on the back burner for now. But I think, it just kind of organically happened in terms of, like, I went to an audition and they were like, you should really do stand-up. And I was like, I don't know how to write a joke. And then...
but it's all...
Yeah, you know, it's like, all, like, transferable skills.
Yeah.
And comedy is one of those things, I really love it. And I think it's a shame that people don't watch enough live comedy or live theatre or live musical. So it's really cool when, like, Dunedin and a lot of the other fringes put on events for people to kind of almost have, like, a taste tester of, like, what they actually want to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite cool, yeah.
Cabaret, is there, there's comedic, a lot of cabaret at least, there's a lot of comedic elements to it in a way, isn't there?
Yeah, but I guess comedic and stand-up is the same genre, a bit different. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I mean, stock standard stand-up is just, like, you and a mic. It's super vulnerable because you want to get your laughs because you've earned them. You've crafted, like, a really good joke and, you know, you've, like, worked on, like, who is going to be, you know...
What the response is going to be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever make comedy being like, this is who my audience is, because I believe that comedy should be open to everyone, and that's why I'm really big on, like, trying to make my shows, like, very financially affordable.
Yep.
But it's like writing a joke being like, okay, well, this is what I find funny, and I'm not writing the joke for me, but I'm writing the joke for the type of people that I think will enjoy me.
Yeah.
So it's like less about demographic and it, like, as in, like, the age and things like that of the audience, but more about, like, the comedy wise aspect of it and, like, who will resonate with, because I really think about who comes to my shows, and the amount of girls I'll be like, I drive a Suzuki, and I'm like, I could smell it on you.
Yeah.
I could tap that you drive a Suzuki. So, or, like, some boyfriends will message me and be like, my girlfriend's got a Suzuki, like, what are your thoughts? Or, my girlfriend's gonna buy a Mazda Demio, like, do you think we should buy a Suzuki? Like, you genuinely will come off stage and these are the conversations you have, and I like, love it.
Yeah.
Even if people don't know my name all the time, I'll go to, like, other parts to do a show or not even do the show. I'll be on a lineup and people are like, are you the Suzuki Swift girl? I'll be like, yeah. That's me. That is literally me. And Suzuki, New Zealand, the Wellington team came on my show when I did Fringe.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So that was quite cool.
They're like, thank you for doing some of our advertising work for us.
I know, because I'm such a big reinforcement for how much I froth a good Suzuki. I love them.
You mentioned pricing. I was going to ask, because I've got a few Fringe interviews coming up. The pricing is amazing across the board. Was that like...
Yeah.
Did they have recommendations for price points, or does everyone get to do it themselves?
I think it's definitely open to, like, you want to cover costs of, like, obviously your venue and things like that, but you have to also be really mindful at the moment. Like, I hear a lot of people not being able to go to things because they can't financially afford it, and it actually makes me so sad that people don't have accessibility to theatre and comedy.
Absolutely.
Because of, you know, the financial situation that they've got going on. So I always try and be like, how can I make theatre affordable for myself to put it on while also people enjoying it. So I always aim for about $15 to $20 max, which is quite cheap on the scale of it, because obviously I'm funding my own show, and then you have to pay for all the other elements for it, like your venue hire, your fee to be a part of Fringe, and things like that. So I feel like a lot of us have gone in this being like, look, we might not be making profit, but I'm going to be hopefully breaking even. Anyone's listening to this, I've got kids to feed, and by kids I mean myself, because I eat for two, okay? And I'm not pregnant, I'm just always hungry. But what I mean by that is support a hot girl. You think that I'm not suffering? My God, I am suffering, okay? I'm walking around with something that you don't realize isn't growing here, and trust me, the struggles are real, and the ointment is like $15. You better
even a chemist warehouse
and buy a ticket, okay? Because this Suzuki's on 95 my darlings, and I've got myself to feed, and I'm expensive.
Yeah, no. And you're right, that like once you break even, you're okay, but it would be nice to eat as well.
Yeah, I mean, being a performer is really, really hard, especially because for a lot of stand-up, unless you're on a lineup, you are producing these shows yourselves. And I love the show. The show has been something I've created, and I've written it all myself. You produce it all yourself. And, you know, having Fringe, like Dunedin Fringe has been so good. Like, shout out to Ruth. She's been amazing, really supporting me, like, on terms of, like, the marketing aspect of it. And especially being, like, an outsider, like, coming into Dunedin, and just like people buying tickets really does mean a lot, because people don't have a lot of money nowadays in terms of like the price of living. So when they do buy a ticket, it means all the more for me.
When it's a bigger percentage of their wage, you know, it is.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you know, I work in a hospital as well to fund this, so it's not like I'm, you know, completely blasé. Like, I know how expensive it is, because obviously I have to take off time off work to tour and stuff, so I totally get it. So when people do come to my show, I'm like, you know, they're gonna get what they paid for. You know, you're not gonna get a $15 show, hun. You're gonna get a $30 show.
Yeah, and that's because I used to do theater, sort of drama theater in Hamilton.
Oh, nice.
And that was always our thing, was we were a little bit worried about the cheaper you make it, the more people's assumptions about it, the quality is lower. And you're like, there's a weird feeling where you're like, I want you to know that we've put all the work into it and the quality is there, but we just want to make it, you know, accessible price-wise. But I think that's a great... The price point you're at, I think, is so accessible, you know, like...
I can afford it. Yeah, well, Jack, if you don't come, I'm actually going to egg your house.
I'll be there. I'll absolutely be there.
But I think, I mean, if I'm being honest with you, yeah, there's all that assumption. But at the end of the day, like, I'd rather everyone come and be able to financially afford it than people to be like, oh, it's cheap, it must be crap. Sure. And it's like, I'm not giving you Temu prices. Like, you're still paying a decent amount. Yeah. But, like, it's like, if you don't feel like it's enough, sweetheart, come over after and give me $40 cash in hand. Like, I won't tell the
I'm not going to say no.
Do you know what I mean? But... that is a really sad misconception about theatre and stand-up. But, you know, when I do, like, because I have done shows and I've had to, you know, up the price because the venue's been more and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you're still earning around the same amount, but you know what you're not doing is you're not getting enough people through the door. And at this point in my career, like, I'm doing pretty well, but I would really love my thoughts and feelings are to get more people in and to, like, make a profit. Don't get me wrong, you're making a profit, but you are making it financially accessible, and that's something I'm really big on.
And it's the other, you've sort of got to balance, like, I feel like the biggest thing that gets people to shows in New Zealand is word of mouth. Like, you can do all the advertising on the internet, all, you know, this on the radio, whatever. A person saying to me, oh, I saw this show and it was really good, is the most likely thing to get me to go to a show. So you also want tons of people, you're right, you want tons of people through the door so they can go tell their grandmas. And
I froth a granny, bring her along.
Absolutely. Speaking of, I think it's, what is it, Fringe have it set at? Is it 18 plus on Fringe?
Oh, definitely R18. Right. Sure. I'm not ready to be educating the children.
Okay.
I don't want to be a high school teacher. I don't want to be teaching them. Please don't bring your children. And if you do, you're not getting a refund, okay? Because, like I said, your girl, it's a hard time for all of us, okay?
Sure.
Take your child home. Please don't bring your children there. Definitely R18. Obviously, it's stand-up, so R18, yep, in terms of, like, you know, the odd swear word. And it's coarse language because that's my job. So yep, I won't shy away from that. So that's why it's definitely R18. But it's not a vulgar show. Like, I've had really great responses. The show won Best Comedy in the Whangarei Fringe last year for 2024. So out of all the shows, the show won. And I got nominated for Best Newcomer in the New Zealand International Comedy Festival. So
I was going to ask you about it.
Yeah, I had to be a Jackie off Maths, off Married at First Sight, and, like, bring my receipts. But I think sometimes it's nice to know that somebody's not going to be crap.
You know what I mean? For sure.
Like, I hate to bring out, like, I'm a lawyer, but I am good at musical theatre and stand-up, and I think that people would have a really good time.
Yep. No, absolutely. So the other thing, the last question I had was about the Comedy Fest. Was there anyone there that you were, like, starstruck by? Did you get to rub shoulders? Is it a kind of rub shoulders-y event, or is it not?
Do you want to know who my favourite comic is?
Sure, go.
Ocean Denham.
I love the confidence.
It's myself. Kind of. I mean, like, because obviously I'm a stand-up comedian in Auckland.
Yep.
And in Aotearoa, a lot of the Auckland comedians, like, we do heaps of travelling. Like, there's so many comedians that are amazing. Like, Dunedin has phenomenal comedians. Like, I love Harriet Moore.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we have really, really great comics, and they're not only just in Auckland, but for, like, when international acts fly in, they predominantly fly into Auckland. But I really love Paul Douglas. Like, I know that a lot of people will say international acts, but I really, really love Paul. He's a New Zealand comic. I love Harriet Moore. I love Audrey Porn. I love David Stewart. If we're going for comics outside of New Zealand, I really love Shane Gillis.
Yeah,
I think that, like, the way he writes comedy is really, really good. But I mean, it's really hard because it depends on what the kind of comedy you're after.
True.
But my favorite Scottish comedian just came here. What's her name? I'm having a moment. Fern Brady?
Oh, yeah, Fern's amazing.
She's amazing. Yeah, she's really, really amazing. And there's some really... I love Ursula Carlson.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, there's so many good comics that come to New Zealand and tour their shows. But when you're doing your show for Comedy Fest and they're doing theirs, it's really hard to, like, be able to go and watch and be like, oh, my God, like, I'm in awe of you.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's quite a cool festival, but... The cool thing about it is that the fringes happen so that people are able to, like, kind of palate test comedy from other parts of the country, you know?
Yep.
So I really, really like it. Like, when we have Auckland Fringe and people come over here, or when we go to Dunedin, you get to watch, like, I make it a real big thing of watching comedians from that area because I don't feel like we kind of do that enough.
No, we're not. It's very sort of one homunculus thing rather than, like, yeah, like, you wouldn't think of a Tauranga comedian as different to an Auckland comedian or whatever.
No, and that's the thing, is, like, talent is not based on where you geographically
exactly
are living.
Yep.
Like, it's so redundant. But, yeah, we've got some amazing comics in Aotearoa, and that's the coolest thing about it. Like, there's just so many good ones. So hopefully everyone can come along in Dunedin and support
and
a show
and
or
see
two.
Another one. Yeah, yeah. See one of the best. Self-confessed, one of the best. But you've got to make... I also think you've got to make yourself laugh. Like, whenever my joke bombs, you know, around my family, around my friends or whatever, if you found it funny, it was so worth saying.
That is such a male comedian thing to say, and I love that for you, Jack.
Look.
I love that for you, Jack, okay? I love that for you.
Look,
I wouldn't know.
You've got to have the confidence, or else what am I going to have if I don't have the confidence, you know?
No, you are right. I mean, comedy is very humbling because you'll go from one gig where you absolutely kill. You know, you're annihilating, you're doing so well, and you'll have another gig which... there might be elements outside of your control and you might not do as well.
Yep.
And it's kind of like with comedy, it's kind of like a poker game. You're not always going to have the best cards,
yep,
but you do need to be the most confident and like really holding your own and not crumbling.
Sure.
Because the audience wants you to do well. I think that's what people forget.
Is there anywhere you've noticed you have particularly good audiences, or is it just like a roll of the dice? No matter where you are, it's just good one night.
I mean, honestly, like, comedy is interesting because if people go in there being like, I really don't like humor that is like talking about dating or like a lot of you can kind of tell when you walk in regards to like if you walk into a comedy space and it's set up a certain way, like it sounds really weird, but like
right.
the tables and the chairs
sure.
and like how intimate it is or if it's pushed back, like it really has less to do with the audience and more to happen with the ambience.
Yep.
Like it sounds so weird, but I mean I really enjoy, like I gig a lot in like Whangarei, Tauranga, Hamilton, so like the Waikato, I've been there quite a lot. Obviously I gig heaps in like Whangarei. Yeah, I haven't been to Dunedin in a hot minute, so I am really excited because last time I did my show there, it wasn't this show, I did another
right.
show, and it was in a cafe, and that went really, really well, and I think I was really new to stand-up then, so I'm really excited now where I've like matured a little bit, my comedy has changed, and because people are really invested in the show, it just makes me really excited for people to watch it and like have an experience of like who's the girl behind the wheel, do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yep. If there's intrigue, then they get to sort of, you know, the payoff on that intrigue, which is cool.
Yeah, and the cool thing is like Emerson is doing a lineup of almost like a palate tester of like a few comedians, and I would definitely recommend people to go to that because like Emerson's got a late night like lineup show.
Yep.
And I would really definitely recommend people to go to that. I'm on that, Itai Dom's on that, Harriet Moore's on that, Donna Brooke Bax is on that. So there's a lot of like local comedians and out of town
comedians.
That's
like everyone's type five?
Yeah. Well, pardon me?
That's like everyone's type five. So just like little short, sharp sets.
Yeah, I think it's like a 7-minute set. So what I mean by like, you know, if you're not like, oh, I really don't want to commit to an hour if I hate this person, the cool thing about like you get to go in for those 7 minutes
for
and
sure.
be like, okay, that person was my favorite. I can commit to an hour of that. Or, you know, you get to kind of see who you're going to invest your time in because time is precious, you know. So,
absolutely. You only get 24 hours of it a day. And how much of it is for sleeping?
Exactly. It's quite cool though. I feel really supported by Dunedin Fringe, and I'm really, really excited to be coming, and ticket sales are looking really, really good. So I'd really love more people obviously to come along and support the show and myself. And like I said, you don't have to own a Suzuki. It's more than that. It is just a mindset. And even if you are a bad driver, I'm not going to judge you. You know what I mean? You can be a personality driver.
Yeah, you can have flair when you drive. A little bit of pizzazz, a little bit of uniqueness. okay, well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to talk to us on the show. You're at the Knockabout Studio, which is in the Octagon, 13th to the 15th of March, 8:30. And
yeah.
It's somewhere between $14 and $18, according to the Fringe website.
Oh, okay. Well, I got 15 to 18, but I won't tell if you won't tell, because
sure.
I'm not sure how. I'm not sure where the 14 came from, the cheeky little dollar. But
it was 14,
yeah,
40, they said. 14, which is a very specific number, so I don't know.
But forget that 40 cents.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a book. Yeah. Don't you dare forget that 40 cents.
Yeah, that's going to you. I shouldn't.
Yeah, but hopefully we get some bums on seats and you come along and you can show me your Suzukis, like take a picture, let's see if your one's hotter than my
yep,
one,
yep.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm very, very excited to be there next week.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Very close now.
So,
and
yeah,
then the Emerson's
so-
gig that you shouted out, when is that?
Yeah.
Do you know?
That is the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I believe. I'll just go and double check on
sure.
my end. But I believe that there is a, like, there's a three night there.
Okay.
Like, as in like, three nights. And, yeah, so I'm on the Friday the 14th, so I'll be going to do my show, and then that's, like, a late night comedy, so hopefully, you know, if you don't have time for the Thursday for my show, maybe you could come there.
Yep.
And that is, yeah, a public event, and that's the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I'm on the Friday.
Cool.
So, yeah.
At Emerson's.
That's yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So, thank you so much, Ocean, for talking to us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Saturday.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it for your time, Jack. And thanks for being such a great sport, even though you don't have a Suzuki. I love that.
No worries.
I bet we've really bonded. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like we've gotten closer. And I'll see you at the show, hopefully.
No worries. Bring your friends and your family.
All right, lovely talk.
If they're over 18.
Yeah, well, they are.
Most okay, well, I'm glad.
Cool. That was Ocean... Oh, no. Oh, no, I meant to end you. Oh, my God, I've had so many technical difficulties today. Love you and leave you, Ocean. See you later.
Whoa, did you tell me you love me? Bye, Jack. See you at my show.
Oh, no. Mistakes. So many mistakes today. It's not been a great one. I won't lie to you, team. That was Ocean. Their show is Hot Girl and a Suzuki Swift, 13th to 15th of March, 8:30 at the Knockabout Studio, which is in the Octagon. It's very cheap. She is lovely and funny, so get along to that. And the late nights at Emerson's will probably be a lot of fun, too. We're going to play a little bit of music.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast, but find more at r1.co.nz.